Figure out what to make. Well, I'll save it for the podcast.
All right. You ready to go?
But this is the podcast.
Are we
Hello and welcome to
FWA. I was totally lost there.
What were you saving for the podcast, Steven?
Oh, so Michael, that turkey that we mentioned last week, Michael still got it, and we were trying to figure out when to cook it.
It's and currently going spoiled.
Yeah, in you an should alley really somewhere. Freeze that. We'll find it some point, but I was going to say we should cook that like a Saturday after we're all back from Thanksgiving. We'll have a second Thanksgiving, and maybe we can podcast talk about it. We can film it for Hyperdrive.
With our little foie family.
With our little foie family.
That's nice.
I love you guys. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you guys.
I'm thankful for turkey.
I'm thankful for...
What are you thankful for?
Foie.
What are you thankful for?
Foie. Oh,
what are you getting at, Michael?
I'm just asking what he's thankful for.
Foie.
Michael, have you been?
I don't have anything to share other than the group story that we all have.
Glad I started with you.
No, I'll go into what we all did together last week.
Okay, please.
I think we're all thinking of it.
Yeah. We all went to Epic Mealtime and got to be on set for their shoot. We got to
before
that was really random. You talk.
We got.
Steven's like that was nothing compared with the Hyperdrive shoot. <that we were." laughs>
Yeah.
Well,
we got to taste their monstrosity. We got to be on Epic Gaming Time. We got to see some PS4s in action. We got
literally to, multiple.
I played one make for about 5 minutes. Steven. Well, I guess it's not a big deal because they're out by the time this comes out.
What are?
Wait, no.
Xbox One or PS4?
Oh, no, PS4 is already out. Yeah.
Since like last Friday or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like all of our listeners have...
James, you get +2 points.
Yeah. Like,
PS4 is old news by now.
And just to remind everyone from last week, James started this week with 6 points and one of you started with -2 points. I think it was Ryan.
I think it was Ryan. Cause
really? I thought it was just back at zero.
You know what? Just for your assuming, I'm going to give you 2 points. And so and I'm going to subtract 8 from James, so it's 0-0-0 now.
Awesome.
Justice.
I'm going
is
to allow this,
sir. So yeah, Steven wants to talk a little bit about our Hyperdrive shoot.
Well, I mean, just it's kind of YouTube is becoming a smaller and smaller. Like I've started running into people more and more, and just last week was kind of proof of that. We did a collab video with Jess Face, Jess a Day. And she gets a call saying, hey, I need to leave early to go to this shoot for Epic Gaming Time. It's over. And I stopped her. I was like, I know exactly where that is. That's in my office where we do the orange. I'll meet you there. So all of us got to go there. And I'll let one of you guys take it from there.
Back to you, Michael.
Passing the ball to you, Michael. And yeah. We went to where I work.
And it was really cool kind of seeing this mythical YouTube channel that I thought only operated in our imaginations, and we got to see a giant dessert sandwich. I don't know how else to describe
we
it.
We can't go into specifics. Well, not,
we also got to see a giant bearded Harley in his natural.
Well, I said we can't go in specifics, James. You just broke the rule.
Hasn't the episode come out?
Well, no, it actually comes out on February 12th. So we gotta wait a while. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's a long time to keep my mouth shut about some of the specifics. Right? It's kind of crazy.
Keep an eye out.
I'm just going to say that there was bacon involved.
Michael. God. Okay. First, James and Michael Ryan,
I'll
please
cut it
just
I'll cut
keep.
It out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Ryan.
Just one big bleep like
cut,
last
I'll,
time.
I'll cut out the part about the bacon. Don't worry.
Just so last bleep week, it. We. and it was great.
Let's not harmonize beeps.
No, this is actually what Ryan and I do.
Oh, okay.
I'll just walk into a room.
You guys live a wonderful life.
Or we just pretend to shoot at each other, which I don't know is a very
healthy long time.
Living situation.
It's like how you take out your aggression on each other. Oh, dishes in the sink again.
Hey, Steven. Good to see you again, buddy.
Oh, the suits in Iron Man 3 sucked.
Oh, my God.
They were really good. That's the joke.
That's what happens daily here. And then, yet, I bought Iron Man 3 today. I went to Blockbuster for the last time and walked out with like 20 movies, including the entire Iron Man trilogy. And I was like, why did you buy this?
Rest in peace.
I miss Blockbuster. I really do.
So the night that we are recording this, which is last week for all of you listeners, on last week's podcast, I talked about how I had almost achieved the Hollywood dream, if you will.
That's right.
Well, guess what, guys? I'm done.
You're there?
I'm not, I still don't have a mansion, but I came and I accomplished what I set out to accomplish by moving to Los Angeles.
And what is that?
So I was going out to pick up lunch with my boss.
Nice, you made it, man.
And I was like, yeah, this is it. No.
Mom, I can come home.
We had just, go into Togo's sandwich shop as we are wont to do on occasion. Mm. And we are standing there at the checkout counter waiting for our food when none other than Miss Amy Teagarden walks up right next to me and orders food. And I'm getting a lot of blank stares.
I don't know who that is.
From everybody else?
No, man, you've made it. Apparently.
You made it. You know the people that we don't.
Yeah, no, I totally know who she is. But, if you want to elaborate, like, for their sakes.
Amy Teagarden played the part of Julie Taylor on the show Friday Night Lights.
Which one was
the
Julie
The coach's
Taylor?
Daughter.
Oh.
Coach Taylor's daughter.
Yeah.
Didn't watch that show.
I totally had a huge crush on her the entire time that I was watching that
show.
She's
like right around our age, right?
She's a year or two older than us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so you made out with her? That's what you achieved the dream?
Yeah, I went up and I said, are you Amy? And before I could even finish, she was like, are you Ryan from TSTV?
I thought you were going to say from FWAR, but yeah, TSTV.
Oh, yeah, from Under a Rock. Oh,
she's been following you this whole time.
Yeah, she's my biggest fan. And
you've been replaced, Mom.
Oh. But in reality, I my face flushed immediately, and I couldn't make a single sound, and I walked right out of the sandwich shop without approaching her in the one bit.
Oh,
that's so cute.
Earlier,
snapped a quick pic.
I did.
Oh, is that what you're
pulling? Okay. I'm going to pull it up and show you guys.
While he's doing that.
My creepy paparazzi photo of Amy Teagarden. There you go.
Looks like she's taking a photo of you almost.
Oh,
she's
my gosh.
Well, because we've already established. Yeah.
She's like, guys, I was so flushed. I couldn't talk to him, but I went outside and snapped this quick picture of Ryan Evans.
I'd love it if she mirrored your actions, just like couldn't handle herself, like blushed and like just left the building.
Can we post this as like a link or something with the
description? I don't know if I want
to.
On the off chance. Okay, so, well, part two is that we go back to the office and my boss is kind of teasing me a little bit. And then she tells me that her boss, the head guy, went to high school with Amy Teagarden's dad. Mm. So there's still a possibility.
There's a chance.
I'm holding
there's
out
a
hope.
Glimmer.
So you're telling
me there's
a chance.
I went into my
chance.
Boss's office and I said, if you just want to invite him to come by sometime, I'll hopefully not become paralyzed again.
Well, hey, if you get in good with the dad, you're home free.
No, girls don't want the guy.
Actually, yeah, that's true.
They want the bad boy.
That's like when you're a teenager, though.
No, it's all girls. If you meet the dad, just punch him in the wiener. And you are in. And you are in.
I need to incorporate into my challenge for today, actually.
You want us to punch him in the wiener? Won't that be bad for you if we do it for you?
Wait, you want us to punch you in the wiener?
No, for the challenge at the end of the podcast.
Oh,
I'm saying that would be good material for
some wiener punching.
Some wiener punching for the challenge. Nice. Foreshadowing. That's foreshadowing.
Rune. Uh-huh. I'm going to award you 2 points for being open-minded to wiener punching.
Ryan, it's funny that you brought that up because I had a really similar moment today. I guess I can't say specifically who, but there was a female YouTuber at the show again today, and I'd like really wanted to meet her. And usually I'm good about this kind of thing, but I went up and I forgot what I was going to say. I was like, hi, we talked before, but not really. I don't know if you remember me. She didn't remember me.
I remember you, Steven. Steven, I remember you.
Thank you. Because I was getting flustered there. I didn't know if you remembered me.
Yeah.
You didn't even remember his name for a second.
I know, sorry. I was flustered. He's been a crush of mine for so long.
And here we are at this table.
Yeah.
James, have you run into any celebrity crushes lately?
Or
just tell us something interesting.
I don't think I've run into any celebrities, but...
All right, minus 2 points.
Oh, damn it. But I, on a nerdier note, I guess, I beat A Link to the Past in anticipation for the new A Link to the Past that's coming out. The hotly anticipated sequel that's coming out 4 days ago.
I keep forgetting.
5 days ago from
when you hear
this.
I keep forgetting about that.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Plus 1 point. All right, sorry, plus 3 points.
So what am I, one now?
You're at one.
Okay.
Good going, James.
Yeah. And it was actually, despite the fact that I'm like a huge Zelda fan, it was the first time that I'd beaten the SNES A Link to the Past, which I'm very ashamed about. But I'm glad I could beat it before the new one came out. Are you going to deny me?
Oh, this was your
points?
First time. No. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Aside from that, it's my last week at work, so I'm pretty excited about that. Next week I start my new job, and yeah, that's just...
Any idea what that's going to entail?
The new one?
Yeah. Wiener punching.
Wiener punching. Lots of it.
Are you in charge of wiener punching, or are you an assistant?
There's a whole department.
Are you on the receiving end?
No. That's we do it exclusively to the other departments.
Are you in the mailroom? Do you deliver the wiener punches?
I do, actually. Okay. Yeah. It's like a mail comes in. The mail never stops. Mail comes in. I grab it. And it's like this guy, this department. You go into his office. You go into his cubicle, and you punch that guy right in the dick.
Let me clarify for everyone. When he says the mail comes in, he means M-A-L-E, mail.
Exactly.
Just some dude walks
the
in.
The mail never
wiener
stops.
Punch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The mail never stops.
Mail never stops. So that's about all I got going on.
So since we're walking to a really gay territory, why don't we transition into a show that had so many gay jokes? This week's pick, Clerks the Animated Series.
So fluid.
Yeah.
Those gay jokes.
Yeah.
Not halting at all.
Nope.
So, Michael, you introduced this to us. I had seen it. I believe James and Ryan had not.
Correct.
Yep.
Yes.
Had you seen all of it? Did
not
you
all of it. I'd seen bits. I forget what I had seen it on. Probably like Adult Swim bits of it. Specifically the flashback episode. It used to be my favorite, but looking back, I think maybe not. It's still up there.
Oh, that episode?
Yeah.
It used to be your favorite? Yeah.
I definitely think that... They started out weak and progressively got better as they went along. So yeah, that one was the second episode. I still thought they were treading water a little bit, trying to find their footing. So.
Yeah, there's a trend in a lot of these episodes where the endings of it do drag on. So like that episode, as funny as it was in the middle, where they're flashbacking to stuff that happened either one episode ago or 2 minutes ago, it is funny. By the end of it, it does get old, and
they kind of base the entire episode around that conceit.
Yeah,
and like you just said, it was funny for a couple minutes, and then they kept it going too long.
I wouldn't say that it. I mean, not that you guys said it, but I wouldn't say that it failed the joke, but it did definitely.
Yeah.
Push it.
Oh yeah, it was funny at first.
Yeah. I mean, they did literally show a shark jumping scene in the second episode.
They're aware. They're aware of it, and that's what's funny. Like the sixth episode, I like the least. That one drags the most, but they kind of acknowledge it. If you've seen the movie Clerks, it's about it. Almost the entire movie just takes place in the store in the Quick Stop, and that's what they did in the sixth one. At the beginning of the episode, they're saying, "Yes, we're going to go back to our roots. Is what you want." And then it ends up, you know, they ignore all the fantastical stuff happening.
Oh, and
with
that's
the
why they wouldn't.
That's why
let
they
them
wouldn't.
Leave.
Yeah, because that's what Clerks is. They even like they just talk about pop culture, Star Wars, and people come in and out just like that, and they're just stuck there.
Although what I did like about it is I did feel that a lot of the jokes, because like a big rule in joke writing is show don't tell, and that entire episode was tell don't show.
Yeah,
and I feel that the comedy landed. It could have been stronger. Some of the jokes they chose to go for weren't that strong, There's a couple of misses. But the premise of the delivery system of just telling and not showing, I thought was pretty funny. Specifically the runner of, like, Caitlin making out with everyone outside. Yeah. I thought it was funny.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. I thought that, like, out of all of the episodes, I laughed the least through that one. I may have gotten, like, one or two good chuckles in, but, like, there are instances in every other episode where I laughed out loud. But the sixth one, with the perspective of it being sort of like the movie, it's a different story because then the whole episode is a joke. But just as an episode, it was just kind of like it got weird. The only part that really made me laugh, or I really appreciated, was when they did the Duck Amuck Looney Tunes ripoff sort of thing at the very end. I was like, okay, that's funny.
But even then, that got old because
they kind of mashed it in with the Matrix a little bit there too. They kind of combined those two.
Yeah, but it felt very disjointed and weird.
Even though I'm defending like the premise of the episode and like the overall. Like, to me, it's kind of like a South Park episode where sometimes the premise can be great and the execution I really don't like.
Yeah.
Like, that's episode 6 is my least favorite episode of the series. Mm-hmm. But I think that at a premise level, it's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. And, like, all of the episodes do. I mean, the flashback episode makes fun of the flashback tool. And the court episode makes fun of the waking up from a dream tool. Like, three people wake up in terms of other dreams and a character has to. One of the guys has to say, wait, am I stupider than you? Yes. Okay, this is real life. Just so that way the audience knows, okay, we're back to the actual story now.
Yeah.
Okay. If I could go back for a second, though. It's interesting to me that you saying that almost the entire movie takes place inside the Quick Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was actually going to come on here and talk a little bit about the intensely quick clip that a lot of the episodes move at and how quickly they change scenes and locations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, they even comment once like that was a quick scene.
That was a quick scene.
They go to this one location for literally two lines and then cut to a new scene. And it's really rapid fire and mm-hmm. always moving. And so, yeah, I guess it was kind of a little bit jarring change of pace in the last episode whenever they're back stuck in, which,
yeah.
You know, Michael said it was, and you guys kind of agree, it was just one of the worst episodes of the lot, if not the worst. Probably because of the cartoon format.
Yeah, where, you know, like anything's possible.
Where it makes more sense to move at that.
Like, I want to see that guy
changing locations and have all kinds of
considering the one before was like a. Like
Indiana Jones parody.
Temple of Doom sort of thing.
I feel that one made the took the most advantage of the fact that the show is animated.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Can I make a point real quick about the show as a whole?
Yeah,
I really like how almost everything is a reference. Like it's just a very referential show.
I mean, that's what Clerks is.
Yeah, exactly. But like the fact that you put it into practice across the entire like series and like you're kind of always moving. If you don't know what they're referencing, some of it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, I think it's really fun and wacky and I really appreciate it.
And they're totally upfront and honest about it too. Even the titles of the episodes are lists of all of the references.
Basically a synopsis of what happens in the... But, like, which is why I think I found the action a lot funnier in this show than most of the dialogue, because I think that the action is really where it shines through in terms of its comedic timing.
Again, the cartoon format.
Exactly. Because if I was just reading these scripts, like, on paper, I probably wouldn't find them... very funny.
Yeah.
But like being able to see the goofiness come to life and especially when you act things out, I think that it shows a lot stronger suit in the timing and the action.
So. Yeah, and I think it's a very gag reliant show.
Yeah.
In a way that works for it. To me, it's comparable to how Family Guy was received early on in its run, before a lot of people got tired of it. I don't know. To me, there's a lot of similarities between the two shows, and the fact that it's relying on gag, I don't think really hurts the story in this show.
It's really funny you bring that up because there's a moment in the pilot episode that reminded me exactly of a Family Guy joke. The M80 fireworks. They say, "What's the worst that could happen?" They throw it. And then it cuts to a mental hospital and a character from earlier on in the show going out saying, is this safe? And then, of course, the fireworks lands and it's not safe. He's dead. That's exactly something I would see in Family Guy. Totally. It was really crazy. And I think these came out about the same time, too.
Family Guy preceded this earlier. By about a year. Yeah.
It was it was really funny. There was a little Seth MacFarlane reference in there if you look really closely. Like, there's just... In the last episode, that's right, they're talking about like how to make cartoons by Seth MacFarlane, which is kind of crazy that he was already being referenced in other things.
Oh, I mean, he'd been around, too.
Yeah, he worked on Johnny Bravo.
Did he really?
That's where he met Adam West.
Oh, I known he was on like cartoons. I didn't know he was on Johnny Bravo, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael, you obviously have some sort of relationship with this show. You want to tell us why you brought it to us?
Yeah, before I was kind of a film and TV connoisseur, when I was in high school, just like my younger teenage years, a lot of what I watched, like I just loved Kevin Smith's series of movies. And it was definitely my sort of humor, very referential. I've since kind of grown out of it, but I still have the appreciation for it. And I wanted to see if this show held up to me, having not watched it since I've like been through film school and expanded my horizons on the sort of things that I watch. So
does it hold up, or do we have to wait to find out?
You can wait.
All right.
Until now. Yeah, I've definitely seen better comedies. It's not as highly ranked amongst all the shows I've seen as it was before I had seen a lot of shows, but I still like it.
It's clearly them doing their own thing. Like, I think it's kind of interesting that this aired on ABC, because it's some pretty ABC. Mature jokes.
I would not
jokes.
Have guessed that if they hadn't have brought it up inside the show,
I believe it also only aired episodes 2 and 3 before getting canceled.
Really?
I think that's true, yeah.
Episodes 1, 4, 5, and 6 are DVD only.
Mm. Wow.
Interesting.
And 4 and 5 specifically, I think, are the strongest ones.
Like, the strong... Like, these are super canceled.
No, like, I think they're their best episodes.
Oh, that too. No, 4 and 5 are best moment.
4 was definitely the best. Yeah.
The Korean animation segue. Oh my! I just want to say
what segue?
The text that said it was in Korea. And the best part of that whole thing was when the transforming car transforms with the people inside of it and the puddle blood. Because that's something I've been thinking of since Transformers came out in 2007. I was like,
the people just get crushed.
Yeah, I was like,
inside
what if Bumblebee transformed with Shia LaBeouf inside?
I also, in that animation sequence, the idea on paper of reading a script and seeing who is driving. Oh my God, Bear is driving. Just makes me laugh so hard.
That and like how everybody's happy at the end and somebody still goes, oh no.
Also, Tom Cruise, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
Show me the money. Yeah, that was pretty insane. But like, I think the part I laughed at the most, because that was more of just like an acid trip at the end. But like the thing, what we were talking about, the whole trope of waking up and not knowing what's real, that whole thing, I could not stop laughing, especially when it got to the basketball players. It was like, dude, they gave us $5 for breakfast. I hope this trial never ends.
Well, that part wasn't even a
dream. That's true. That's not the dream, but you know what I mean.
The running up trope
and the Knicks win an important game. Oh, man.
Yeah, the running gag of just like the basketball players actually being super poor.
Charles Barkley, just everyone hating Charles.
Awesome.
I felt really bad for Charles Barkley.
I know. He was, that whole series made me feel bad.
He voiced
for
himself.
Barkley.
I know.
It sounded like him. I believe it.
No, I mean, he was in the credits.
He was a childhood hero of mine of sorts.
Was it because of Space Jam?
No, I was a Rockets fan when I was a kid, too.
I actually think, speaking of celebrity crushes, I remember seeing Charles Barkley as a very little kid at the grocery store in my local neighborhood because he lived right next to me.
So I totally have a picture of me and him together.
Did you have your shoes on?
Well, I wanted to get a picture. I wanted to get a picture, but my dad was like, no, he's at the grocery store stopping. And I was like, Dad, it's Charles Barkley. I don't even care about sports.
I'm a kid. I don't
even
care about sports.
I don't
even
know. He was in Space Jam.
What is sports?
What is Space Jam? Anybody who grew up in our generation should know.
Yeah, it's a given at this point. Yeah. We're not gonna.
We've all seen Space Jam.
We're not even. Yes. Yeah, we're not even gonna bring up Space Jam because we know we've all seen it. So
I'm just gonna say that movie does not hold up. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Hold the fucking phone.
I guess we're going to talk about Space Jam now.
I don't go into it. There's
Mon
like
stars.
Do you even get that?
Alien monsters?
I get that. What I don't get is there's like
stretchy
no second act.
Michael what about, Jordan
there's like
hands?
No second act in that movie.
What about the secret stuff?
That's great. It's a great scene. There's no like second act of character development.
No, that's because the secret stuff was inside of them.
What about Lola?
That's not character development.
Lola.
Oh, man.
Lola Bunny.
I'm just going to say for...
Lola's a bunny, so I'm not going to... Yeah, we're not going to...
No. You can be turned on by a bunny. No.
I'm going to say for Rune just quickly jumping on McDoodle's defense, he gets 3 points.
Wait, Rune's?
Rune. Yeah, Rune gets 3 points.
That's right.
Okay.
Rune Ovens.
These are getting really unimaginative. I'm sorry.
Rune Ovens.
That's even less imaginative.
Yeah.
So,
okay, I'll take that.
Let's rate Space Jam.
Ratings for Space
what
Jam?
What are we even talking about?
A+. Clerks, the animated series. So I have to say I am... curious to go and watch the actual Clerks movie, and you know I hadn't even realized how extensive this mythology goes. You know, there's Clerks and Clerks 2, and then Jay and Silent Bob, which I didn't even realize were Clerks characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then you mentioned Chasing Amy as well.
Yeah, that's the order of the films. It's Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy,
oh, and Mallrats. Okay,
Dogma. And then Dogma, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And then Clerks 2 are all the ones like kind of within the same
and Fanboys.
Well, that's not in the world.
Well, Jay and Silent Bob are in it.
I know.
They've
guest starred as characters and other things. But yeah, I'm talking about Kevin Smith movies.
They're like second tier canon, like the Disney Star Wars movies.
Yes.
See,
that's like DC alternate universe shit.
I really haven't delved into Kevin Smith mythology at all. So
yeah.
This is all a big surprise.
I've only seen Clerks
me.
And Clerks 2, but they were so long ago, I really don't remember.
Mallrats is probably my favorite of all of them. Hmm. So I recommend checking it out.
Like I said, I am curious to go watch Clerks, the original, but beyond that, I can't really promise anything because I did not love this show, I have to say. It's.
Did you like it?
On Facebook?
I'd say I liked it.
I liked it okay.
Yeah.
I still don't have a rating ready yet. Yeah. But
what are your drawbacks?
Just the style of humor. It's not my kind of thing, I guess. Yeah. You know, you're talking about
I love it just because pop culture references. I mean, you watch Clerks and you're going to be like, "Oh, Steven totally loves this movie." And Clerks too, cuz there's so much Star Wars. You haven't seen it. I don't want to spoil it.
I didn't like the dialogue as much as I like the action. I like the art style. But I don't like the animation.
Like how characters pop in the frame?
Well, yeah, it's a little. it seemed a little cheap. Like, oh man, skip a couple frames.
Well, going directly from Princess Mononoke to this was probably a bad idea because
yeah,
that's such a beautiful movie.
I feel like
movie.
I'm spoiled now.
And this was ludicrously simple drawing,
and
you know,
it's not
computer
even that. Like,
drawing,
like I said,
whatever.
I like the art style, and even in the menus, the animation was much more fluid. What I'm saying is that it was kind of, you know, you could tell
they cut
that,
corners.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, some of my favorite animated shows do that now. Like the early Family Guy did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, like, you know, given the amount of seasons that, you know, Family Guy has, this definitely would have picked up as better animation style. So I guess it's to be expected with the first season of an animated show, especially a canceled first season. Yeah. But that's one of my, in terms of visual quality, that was one of my problems with it.
Yeah,
okay. I can't imagine Kevin Smith would have gone into making this cartoon thinking this is going to be like picked up for multiple seasons. Like, he must clearly know his brand of humor isn't TV friendly, not just like maturity, but like
not TV
general,
but not ABC.
Don't agree with like.
Do
don't
you really
get
think
the
so?
Humor.
Because you were comparing it to Family Guy earlier.
I said it, the jokes were like Family Guy,
yeah,
like
exactly.
The, and the, that the they do references and like, oh, I wonder, you know, it's fine. Then it cuts away to it not being fine and
so
the
what
references.
Do you,
but
what do you
like,
think is not okay for TV then?
Just like the, what was it? Let me think of a specific example. The guy who like is holding his bloody hand and Family Guy does that now, but I think that's weird. Like his bloody hand, like, oh, does anybody have an adhesive? And then he just like bleeds out or.
I like the running gag with the with why are we walking like this?
Oh no, that was amazing.
The wall.
I'm so glad they brought that back. I think it's more of the dialogue than the gags. The gags are TV staples, but the specifics in the dialogue.
See, I feel like you mentioned the flower pot falling and the multiple wake ups thing. Like both of those and a lot of the other jokes. I just feel like I've seen before in so many places.
Well, I mean, like, we were even watching despite the fact that it was, my favorite episode, we were watching the courtroom scene, and I called the line before it was even said, where he was, like, asking something really embarrassing to Dante, Randall was, and he says, did you or did you not blankety-blank on this date in, 1996? And I said it before it happened, may I remind you that you were under oath? And I was like, that's happened in every comedic courtroom
scene. It's like they have these jokes in there because that's where they're supposed
to
go.
They're tried and true.
That's where they're supposed to go. It's like, we're in the courtroom scene. Oh, we have to say, may I remind you, you're under oath. It has to go in there.
I would also like to point out that this show was made 13 years ago before there were a lot of really prominent shows that kind of went to the certain places that this show did. And I'm not necessarily going to say this show did it first, but I think that the fact that you're watching it 13 years later, definitely you've seen those tropes enough and things that have happened since then that maybe you're a little less forgiving on this.
That's
even
true.
If it did it first.
Because back then, cartoons were just for kids, and The Simpsons and Family Guy newly were kind of changing that.
But. Yeah. I don't know. I'd argue it was more original than you're giving it credit for at the time.
Yeah. I'll stand by the certain specifics in the dialogue, which are what made it not TV.
Yeah.
Friendly.
I guess I can't really argue with that since it is older.
And he was
also,
born in the
I
year
also,
2000. Ryan skipped the 90s, as he reminded us.
I also think that there's a lot of TV I haven't seen in my life. I'm not old enough to have such an extensive backlog of TV knowledge. So while I can't directly disprove you, I'm just going to stand on principle and argue against you for the heck of it. So
they're death staring each other.
This is getting really intense.
I'm trying to figure out how to handle the points in this. I'm going to give you -2 points for being unmoving.
Oh.
Mostly just because I want the playing field to be a little bit more even and you are a runaway ahead. Don't.
Good catch. Yeah. I'm pretty slow with those.
Runaway.
And also Steven is like a 3-second psychic, as I've told him before.
Also -2 for Steven.
Where I feel like Steven, I've told him this before, where I feel like he sees things before they happen.
Oh my God. What?
And he will... It's solely so that he can make these Bon Jovi references, too. That's the only reason he has this power.
Well, I can hear the word that makes the reference before the word comes about. It's like, okay, he could be going towards this, so what's the lyric? That's the word, go with the lyric, and it's out.
He's got this flow chart.
I have a very lazy brain where I, I have to very carefully form words and
I can
put
see
them
you
into thoughts.
I can literally watch you trying to come up with the words you're trying to say as you're saying them.
I do that a lot.
Well, that's why you got me, so I can come up with some of those other
words.
Exactly.
Oh my God!
It's spreading.
You no longer need me. I'll be leaving now.
James, no!
Goodbye. Forever.
He's gone now.
Welcome to a new episode of
Thwar.
I don't know what the TH stands for, but it's because there's three of us.
I'm back, bitches.
There's four of us, not
He's
four.
Back for the sequel. But James, I thought had learned everything we needed to know.
All right, guys.
I couldn't leave
you. Any last thoughts on Clerks?
I cannot
the
for the
menu
life
music
of me,
is awful.
I cannot for the life of me remember what episode 3 was for some reason.
Oh, geez, neither can I. Was that the burrito?
Yeah.
Yes, the outbreak.
With
outbreak,
James Woods? Yeah. James Woods and Gilbert Gottfried.
I do love James
playing
Woods.
Playing Patrick Swayze.
I did like the Patrick Swayze stuff.
I have a final thought. I thought it was really fitting that we watched this today because, as I mentioned before, this is the last time I ever got to go to a Blockbuster, and part of this show takes place in a video store.
That's
so
true.
It all kind of
wraps
itself in a nice little bow.
I love when life
is there a nearby Blockbuster I can buy 50 movies for 50 cents
there
each
is,
movie?
Not
actually.
For 50 cents, for $5.
That's us.
Yeah, I still can't believe they were giving movies away for $5 before they went out of business. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Totally.
Usually right, they're like,
can we rate Blockbuster?
Blockbuster, you get an A+. I'm going to miss you. You should have probably jumped on the whole internet streaming thing, though,
while
so I'm going to make it an
A-. While I loved Blockbuster, I loved Hollywood Video more.
Oh, boo.
I hated Hollywood.
Actually, what?
Yeah, no, screw your opinions.
Because within walking distance from where I lived.
So Blockbuster is going to get a C+ from me because I did love it. I used it all the time when I was a kid, but it did fail to evolve. I want to give it a D- so bad, but I won't. So,
my personal preference, I just can't. I just feel weird about the idea of streaming movies and not having a physical. I'm old fashioned. The concept is weird.
There's a difference between streaming and like having a collection. I'm trying to start a collection, but I still stream all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give Blockbuster a C because it was a very big part of my childhood that went obsolete and didn't catch up, and that made me disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they're still selling movies for $5 despite going out of business.
What is up with that?
Seconded.
Yeah,
pretty sure they sell them. Okay, take it from the guy who would still go to Blockbuster regularly.
Okay, so they did 4 for $20 deals, which is the same thing.
Okay.
Can we stick with just we're rating Blockbuster and not Clerks for the episode?
Okay, so we're rating Blockbuster and Space Jam for this episode.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
No, we should probably go ahead and rate Clerks 2.
Okay. Yes.
Clerks 2? Okay, so the sequel to the first movie, Clerks.
I'll give it a...
It's been a while.
Okay, no, let's do
this. Let's rate Clerks the animated series.
This is animated series, for real. Who wants to start? Michael?
This show, it held up in that I still enjoyed it, and I very much enjoyed that you guys were laughing at some of the things that made me laugh. That's the whole reason we do this podcast, to see the rest of us enjoy the things that we like or think are good.
To justify our existences.
To validate our entire being. And I agree that the dialogue was a lot more simplistic than I remember. A lot of it felt like it got a couple drafts, and then they were like, that's good enough. But it also did have a lot of good jokes, I felt. So, in the grand scheme of television, I'm going to give Clerks the animated series, I'll say, a B-.
James?
A lot of the same points. I enjoyed the show to an extent. I think it had okay jokes, but pretty good gags. Like the art style, the animation was a little cheap. And occasionally the voice acting was a little lacking. I forgot to mention.
More than occasionally.
Yeah, more than occasionally. So all in all, I will have to give the show a C+.
I enjoyed the show. The references are right up my alley. Kind of wish, like, we're the perfect age to watch this now. I wonder, we'd probably like this more if we were in our early to mid 20s when it first came out, and we would get the references more because they were just happening. Like, oh, Phantom Menace, that just came out.
Early to mid-20s?
Tens.
No, I'm saying if we were in our early to mid-20s the show came out and these references were fresh, we would enjoy them more.
Okay. I'd say I'd probably like it if I was a little younger, too. Like, probably
like when
like
I
18,
saw it.
17, 18. 18,
yeah.
I would go down to 15, 16.
Yeah, that's about when I saw it.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's probably why I liked it so much.
But, some of the dialogue is not the best, and it does drag in places. It has some hilarious parts, episodes 4 and 5, and then it does drag episodes 2 and 6. I'm gonna give it a B-.
I can't really expound on anything else that's been said. I think it's very funny in some parts and rather boring for a lot of other parts. It's perfectly average. I'm gonna give it a C.
Also, I appreciate the fact that Alec Baldwin was in so many
episodes.
I was not expecting him to be in multiple
maybe
episodes.
Maybe 4 of them?
Yeah, about 4. Mm-hmm. So, just, yeah.
Good for you,
I'll
Alec
sign
Baldwin.
Note.
A-. No.
changes the whole dynamic.
I don't know how to... I mean, it is very, very, very close to being a B-, but it comes out at a very, very high C+.
Okay.
Is there? Okay. Yeah.
That'll
Does
do.
That, do you not round up or?
I don't know.
I round up to the nearest.
It just
kind of
depends
number.
On what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How do I math?
Don't worry. Michael
maths. Okay. Michael
maths. Michael maths for us.
Yep.
Michael has been mathing over there, keeping track of the points for us.
Yeah.
And now I believe we have time for the challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge. The 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 challenge.
What is the challenge?
The challenge. The challenge is
from an email I sent you. You must fill at least 2 minutes, but you can go over, with your very own erotic fan fiction, fan fiction, fan fiction.
Easy.
But here's the catch. It has to be awkward as hell, and it has to be a celebrity man crush. That is right. You must write erotic fan fiction of a man. And you guys have all had your time to put your pieces together.
Indeed.
Who would like to share first?
I'll go first so I can get this over with.
I would like to. Should
with
I
that attitude.
All of you have different specifications, something that you must avoid in order to not lose points. And you get bonus points for doing another thing. Specific to each of you, and I will tell everyone what those were after we've heard all three of yours.
Okay. First, my mom listens to these. I'm sorry. Michael made me do this. Mom, you can just stop now. We'll be back next week. Okay. If you're still listening to me, Mom, you didn't hit the right button. It's on the upper left corner of iTunes, or if it's on your iPod, the play button.
Wait, what
is
if
usually...
she's listening to it on Podbean?
Okay, so on the left side of the video player, just look for the two rectangles that are vertical. Hit those.
Look, if you light your computer on fire,
then you're good.
Do you help her program her VCR, too?
No. Because there's no more Blockbuster. We can't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. It was another hot day, but when you live in the middle of the desert, every day's a hot day. But today was hotter than usual because I got a message. From him. I've been jamming out with my friend Max and his band down in Anchorhead. We never played any gigs, but I... Whoa, hold on. Technical difficulty. We never played any gigs, but I could tell we had good fortune coming our way when Bib told us his boss wanted us to play at his party. I've been following his boss's career ever since I was a child. I used to see him at the races. He had such a commanding presence. Everyone... Dang it. Okay, this is why BlackBerry shouldn't... have touch screens.
This is why BlackBerry shouldn't.
Yeah, no, my next one's not going to be a BlackBerry.
He had such a commanding presence. Everyone would stop and bask in his presence when he'd make his entrance. Not a single racer would budge until he said so, and that's just the way it should be. A man as powerful as him demands respect, and no engine in the world could out loud his voice. So Max and I made it to his palace. I could barely stand up when I saw him. He had no idea I was in the room. He was asleep, really, but I never let an opportunity like this pass me by. I had the privilege of watching him sleep. I dreamed about this moment. I wonder if he was dreaming about me. I mean, I said hi to him at one of the races once, but there's no way he'd remember me from that, could he? In his slumber, it was easy to see how huge he was. Literally. His snoring echoed and filled the entire room. Like a man should. I didn't know it, but in my stupor I'd started moaning. My passionate whimpering had awoken his majesty. What do I say? If I ruin my first impression, I'll never have a chance with him. Just think of something. So I mustered what strength I had and said, "Good morning, Jabba." He approved. I soon saw myself playing for the one and only Jabba the Hutt. Max Rebo and I were killing it, and I'm sure tonight would have been the night. But then that stupid homewrecker Luke came and ruined everything. Also, for some reason, I never noticed the half-naked girl in the gold bikini at his tail. Probably because I knew she was trouble when she walked in. Because she killed him and stuff. The end. And it's really the end because there's no reason to have Star Wars movies after Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. I'm looking at you, right. Disney.
Hot.
That was. Oh, I mean, it was the desert.
Gotta open the room here. Open the window.
Okay. Who would like to go next? Or should I award points now?
Up to you.
I'll give you plus 13 for the story in general.
Yeah.
You get plus 5 for making the man crush in question over 350 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
You did not reference Bon Jovi or Power Rangers, so you don't lose points.
I almost did.
Well, actually, you did reference Bon Jovi,
no,
didn't he?
No, don't think. Don't didn't overthink he? It. Do not overthink didn't he? It. Do not overthink it.
Trouble When She Walked In?
That's no, not that's it. Taylor that's Swift. No, I know what you're thinking, oh. And no.
Okay.
Okay. Ah, Taylor Swift. Because
I almost
Bon
made
Jovi.
That reference to reference another podcast, okay. But I was like, all right. No. Okay.
So I won't subtract.
Yay.
So you get 13 overall, plus 5 for bonus, and minus 4 for technical difficulties. It really took me out of it.
I gotta be prepped for those. Scathing. So 14?
So you get 14 points, which 14. Sits you at 12 points overall.
Okay.
Who would like to go next?
Stupid Blackberry.
Go for
all
it.
All right, Rune.
It was late by the time I finally left the movie theater. I had been covering the midnight release, but of course my boss left me to do all the dishes. It was near 4 in the morning when I finally left, hours after my shift was supposed to end. I crossed the courtyard towards the parking garage, absolutely alone in the jet black darkness. At least I thought I was. Wallet and keys, kid. The sound of a switchblade accompanied the gravelly voice of my attacker. I froze, paralyzed with fear. I began to turn my head ever so slowly, as though my neck were controlling the knife in the mugger's hand. Don't turn around. Just empty your pockets on the ground. I wanted to cry for help, but the words seemed to burn in my esophagus. My heart raced and my vision blurred. I was on the verge of tears. Then I heard a dull thump from behind me, followed instantly by a cry of anguish. I spun around to see that there was no one there at all. Just as my breathing was about to return to normal, I was suddenly swept off my feet and vaulted into the air. I looked down and beheld my rescuer, none other than Spider-Man. Yes, it was a short flight, but it was a moment I shall never forget. Spider-Man took me to the top of the parking garage, and I carefully slid down his big, powerful arms to the ground, getting a fine look at the turn of his ankle on the way. Phew, that was a close one, he said. Wow, he's so cordial. And witty, I thought. Spider-Man, thank you, I finally managed to squeak out. No problem. Well, see you, Ryan. He took off for the edge of the rooftop. Wait, I called. How do you know my name? He stopped in his tracks, looked down at his feet, and sighed. Well, I wish you didn't have to find out like this, but, well, I've been coming up here on nights when you close the theater. I wanted to say something, but, well, I just couldn't work up the courage. I blushed. Spider-Man, you're the bravest person I've ever known. You saved my life. Stupid, Ryan. You really think Spider-Man would ever fall for your courting? Please, Ryan. He reached up and pulled off his mask. Call me Andrew Garfield. I knew it, I exclaimed. I just couldn't help myself. I've tried to tell everyone at school that you were actually Spider-Man. No one would believe me. Andrew Garfield smiled. It is the perfect cover. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't tell anyone, though. Don't worry, Andrew Garfield. Your secret is safe with me. He smiled, running his webbed fingers through his springy brown hair. All right, Ryan, I'd better be going. He turned and jumped off the garage. Wait, Andrew Garfield, I never got a chance to... But he was already gone. Thank you. I stood there for a moment, nothing but the wind for company. I exhaled slowly, then turned to go. And there he was, hanging upside down before me. Well, you can tell me now if you want. I reached up and pulled at the edges of his mask with trembling fingers. The kiss we shared was beyond passion, beyond love. It was a weaving of souls and intertwining of lives. What followed? Well, his secret is indeed safe with me.
Well done.
I like how you mixed the different Spider-Man movie universes there.
Very nice.
All right. So You only get one bonus point because the old-timey language didn't exactly pervade your piece. So you get
It would have compromised the integrity of the piece, I believe. So I didn't go for it.
He's taking artistic license.
Yeah.
You get one bonus point out of a possible five. You get zero deductions. How old is Andrew Garfield?
I don't know, but I looked up a list of celebrities under 25, and he was on there, so I just...
The internet.
If someone could verify that for me.
I've got my thing pulled up, so...
I'll do it.
But
for the story in general, and how I was legitimately waiting for your next lines with bated breath, you get 22 points.
Wow.
Very nice. Sir.
For the story in general. So you're sitting at 23... And how old is Andrew Garfield?
Oh, shit, he's older.
How old is he?
He's like 30.
He's 30.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's going to be playing a high schooler in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. And so for not meeting the point deduction, you actually get minus 10 points.
Oof.
You see, Ryan, I knew that. I didn't want to say that because I was hoping you would get away with it. I was like,
he's like 29.
Here's a fun thing. When I'm writing in my phone, I wrote minus 10 deduction, but it auto-corrected to seduction.
So I think
my iPhone was into your story as well. Yeah.
Seduced by Spider-Man.
So that gives you 13 points in addition to the three you already have. So you are sitting at 16. McDoodles, you must score 16 or 17 points.
How many do I have?
You have zero. You're
okay.
That would make sense.
I was all over the board tonight, man. Okay. Time to lock it in. This was written with my last few days at my office in mind. Keep in mind. It was another boring day at work for James McAnally as he stared glumly into his computer screen. He watched in arduous silence as the minutes ticked by on the clock. 1 hour to go, he intoned. 1 hour to freedom. It was the last day of work he'd ever know in this dreary office setting, this drab daily grind. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Suddenly, James, his supervisor called. With a stoic expression, James's supervisor strode toward him, fearing another heap of menial work soon to be lumped onto him. James braced for the worst. I just wanted to tell you that you've done such a great job here, and we're really going to miss you. James let his guard down, ever so slightly. Furthermore, I have one more task for you. Yes, what is it? James managed. Come into my office, and I'll show you. James winced, fearing the worst. His supervisor shut the door as soon as James entered the office. A man James didn't recognize stood in the end of the room, facing away and looking out the window. His was a full, muscular frame, with broad shoulders and a powerful back. James, his manager said, allow me to introduce you to Mr. Nathan Fillion. James stared in gaping awe as his personal hero, Nathan Fillion, spun around on his heel. He was every bit as graceful as James had oft dreamed. Nathan, please, he spoke in a powerful tenor. I've heard quite a lot about you, James. But, James stammered incoherently, this was his idol. His great golden god! To be flung into such a scenario so suddenly was perplexing, to say the least. He stood there, aghast, unable to put his thoughts into words. I'll leave you two alone for now, said James's supervisor. He left the room, soft as a whisper. Please, sit, Nathan said as he pulled up a chair for himself. James did so clumsily. I've heard that you're quite the actor, and from what your boss has told me, one of the best. James could feel the blood rushing to his cheeks. As it happens, I've just started to produce a project, and I would like you to audition to star opposite me. Now, if it works for you. James's pulse was quickening at a rapid pace. He could feel the sweat forming on the palms of his hands. What project, you say? I'm glad you asked. As I'm sure you know, I, Nathan Fillion, world-renowned actor, am quite the pro wrestling fan. I've been trying to get a Macho Man Randy Savage biopic in the works ever since his tragic death. James gulped. And you want to play Macho Man Randy Savage? James asked timidly. Nathan cocked his head. Why, no, that is the part you're auditioning for. Now, give me your best impression. Anytime now. Nathan steepled his fingers in quiet anticipation. James knew it was his time to shine. Oh yeah, James Mellon. Macho Man's gonna get ya. That's a damn fine cup of coffee, yeah. Let me tell you something, brother. Anyone ever comes close to thinking they're gonna take this championship from me, they're gonna have to stop. Stop. Nathan raised his hand for silence. That was, James paused, holding his breath, the best impersonation I've ever heard. James sighed a sigh of relief. Oh, thank God, he thought. I'm confident that you will make a fine co-star. There's just one more thing, he said. Nathan Fillion began to unbuckle his belt. James's eyes, as well as something else, bulged. Could it be, he thought. Nathan stood undoing his fly. You know how Hollywood is, kid. I wish you didn't have to... I wish it didn't have to be this way, but it's for posterity's sake. I hope you understand. Oh, James said. I do. He ripped his own clothes off in a flash, revealing his meager frame against the door. Revealing his meager frame against the tall, handsome bear of a man who stood before him. Well, all right then, Fillion said, and with a flourish, his clothes were off too. Shall we begin? Oh, Captain, my Captain, James saluted as he lunged at his hero. It was glorious. Like something you see on Animal Planet, but 10 million times sexier. Their bodies moved together as one. The sweat gleamed off of Fillion's barrel chest as they made their way from couch cushion to desk. At one point, while bent over his boss's computer, James could have sworn he saw his supervisor peek in, no doubt to check in on the moans of pure ecstasy erupting from his office. His supervisor gave an appreciative nod and left once again. After their passionate lovemaking, that I should mention lasted for several hours and was super hot, James and his once hero, now lover, lay sprawled on the floor, utterly spent. They smoked cigarettes as they spoke. Well played, sir, Nathan Fillion sighed, a puff of smoke billowing forth from his lips. Suddenly, who should burst into the room but Christopher Walken? Hello, I'm here for Macho Man Randy Savage biopic audition. He stopped short, seeing the two on the floor, a makeshift bed of their discarded clothes beneath him. Oh, I see, he said, as his head drooped in marred disappointment. You've given the part to another. Yes, I have, said Fillion, not unkindly. Christopher Walken then blithely stated, Well, that's Hollywood for you, baby. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go audition and / have sex with Michael Moore. Later, bitches. This is the end of the story. If I were to keep going, it would be the story of a man, no longer a boy. A man who, through furious copulation with his beloved idol, found himself and what he truly cared about. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. Peace out.
Before you do points, James, you know Leanna Vamp, right? Cosplayer.
Maybe?
She's
on this wall.
Yeah.
She just posted this.
See? That's my dream.
That's right there. It's a picture of her with Nathan Fillion. They recently did a photo shoot together.
That's so cool.
And I specifically told her, I was like, Leanna, I have a friend who's gonna be really jealous of this.
This was like yesterday, and then today,
I'm like, perfect timing.
I also like to remind James every now and then that I have indeed met Nathan Fillion.
He has. I hate it.
And he is as graceful in person.
You know, Rune, I'm going to give you 7 points for having met Nathan Fillion.
Wow, that was easy.
All right.
All right. So, Dooms, McDoodles.
Mm.
You get 5 bonus points. Right, because you incorporated 3 celebrity impressions.
Very well.
Nathan Fillion, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Chris Walken.
Yep.
You're gonna get a bonus 4 just for the fact that it's Nathan Fillion. And then overall, I feel that you embodied the keyword erotic fan fiction more so than the other two. I'm going to give you 24 out of 25 points overall, which puts you at 33 points, which leaves our total. Jooms McDoodles, 33. Steuben Suburban, 12. Rune, 23. So, James, you are the first four member to boomerang, be last in a cycle, and then win the next week's challenge.
Yeah. Stop hogging all the movies.
Yeah.
I am honored. Thank you. And I hope that one day Nathan Fillion gives me a call.
I would like to thank the members of four. Yeah.
I would like to thank the Academy. Okay. So for next week, I'm not sure if everybody's seen this, so I do have a backup. But next week we will be watching, drum roll please. I said stop.
I said stop. A film by
Blade Runner.
Yes.
You've seen it? I'm not surprised you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Shit.
Well, okay, which version of it?
Don't even.
So many sci-fi fans right now just like, I'm never listening to this podcast again. Those 5 seconds changed the entire thing.
Okay.
The one where Greedo shoots first?
Blade Runner.
It's my favorite version.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one of you fools hasn't seen Casablanca again?
Me.
All right. We're watching that.
There you go.
Yeah. Way different movies. All right.
Thank goodness. I'm happy about that.
I this is one of my favorite movies.
Little known fact, Casablanca means White House.
Is this about the president?
Casablanca down? Anyone?
That would have been a much better
movie. That would have been an amazing movie.
Let's make that movie.
Could you imagine Humphrey Bogart saying, "Get off my Jordans, Dame"?
Frankly, my dear terrorists, get the hell out of the White House.
Were you about to reference Gone with the Wind?
Have not seen that movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That's Casablanca, isn't it?
No, that's
definitely not Casablanca.
Never mind that.
That's GWTW.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Come on, man. You get an automatic minus 2 points.
He is looking
points.
At you, terrorists.
All right, you get those 2 points back.
Yeah. Nailed it. All right, Steven, do you want to tease any more Hyperdrive stuff?
So I mentioned we did a collab with Jess Face. That should be up on our channel now. Goes up 2 days after we record this podcast. And it was really fun. And I don't know, messing with voices and stuff. And I'm going to Long Beach Comic Con. You guys should come with me. Maybe we can film a hyper vlog about it.
When is that?
Saturday and Sunday. I don't know which days I'm going. But I'm thinking
this
of doing
Saturday
more fun
Sunday?
Stuff like that. Yeah. You can ask Leanna Vamp about what Nathan Fillion's like.
Oh, man. See, that's tantalizing.
You'd be 1 degree away from him.
It's like, Leanna,
he already
yeah.
is.
It's like, listen, you're great. What's Nathan Fillion like?
And do you have to say, I was less starstruck by Nathan Fillion than Amy Teagarden, as crazy as that sounds.
But heresy.
I'm sorry, James.
That's okay. To each his own.
Let's wrap it up. Let's go around the table for one final roll call.
I'm Michael Ornelas.
I'm James McDoodle.
Steven Zarita.
And I'm Ryan Evans, and this has been
From Under a Rock.
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 Rock. Rock,
rock. TK421, why don't you hit your post? TK421, do you copy?
Got a bad transmitter, I'll see what I can do.
Guys. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Macho Man. Savage. Ooh. Can you dig it? Snap into a slam jam. Ooh, yeah.